Good morning once again. Welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. Our scripture text is taken from the first letter of Paul to Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6 in verse 6 reads, "Now godliness with contentment is great gain." Continuing for the context, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into a temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness." Note in verse 10, we read that the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Now, I want to clear up some misconceptions with that. Many people say that money is the root of all evil. Well, Scripture doesn't say that money is the root of all evil. Scripture says that the love of money is the root of all evil. It is a snare for the rich who glory in it, and it is also a snare for the poor who covet it. The love of money is a root of evil with regard to covetousness for the man in the convenience store buying up the lottery and the scratch tickets, or the woman who is always taking shots at those more well off than her financially, wishing that it was herself in that position, just as much as it is for the family who's got the mansion on the hill. Sin is not in the having money, rather, sin is in the unhealthy trust in or desire of it. Now this morning, we have before us two characteristics, and we shall view them as a study in contrasts. We have godliness and ungodliness. We have contentment and we have discontentment. Now the Bible commands us to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. In light of eternity and divine judgment, we ought to be attending to our lives in holy conduct and with godly living. Godliness is the following of the example of Christ Jesus in our daily lives. We need go no further than the school of Jesus Christ in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 17. "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and in holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And if you've experienced the forgiving power of God, if the blood of Christ has cleansed your soul, then act after the same manner. Amen. Pay it forward, to use the common expression, to others. Ungodliness is the opposite behavior. And Paul defines it both comprehensively and concisely. And even as they, he's talking about those who have rejected the Spirit of Christ, the overtures of God towards their own soul, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Pretty scary thought, huh? When we say to God, "No, I'm not going to do it your way," what does God do? He says, "Okay, have at it." And he leaves us to the consequences of our own foolishness and our own bad decisions. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteousness of God, the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. This is ungodliness. And ungodliness is a willing to tolerate sin in your life, and a willingness to allow the sins of others to infect you on your Christian walk and wink at it. Now, godliness can and should lead to contentment. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Contentment is being content with your wages, having food and clothing, and remaining with God in that state in which you were called, and finding peace in whatever state you're in. Contentment is being truly happy with the spouse you have, with the home you have, with the car you drive, with the job you have, and with your daily life in general. Let each of us learn to be content with such things as we have. For God Himself has said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." If you are content with the God you have, then you will be content with the life you have. And you will be content with who you are. If you have no contentment at all in your life, quite probably, you don't have Jesus Christ in your life. And today's the day to do something about it. There are many malcontents in the world. And the scripture says that the foolishness of a man twists his way, and his heart frets against the Lord. What does it mean to fret? To worry, to be unduly concerned, to moan and groan within oneself, within one's spirit, about one's lot in life, just to be generally miserable within yourself. And even if you've got the happy face on, that miserable person inside is going to affect and infect yourself and everybody else around you. Unless you take steps to do something about it. So the foolish man frets against the Lord, yet he rages against everyone else. People who fret are angry people. That fretting inside bubbles up and eventually becomes anger. And eventually displays itself in lots of ugly ways. Towards others and towards the Maker. Now all of this is a result of one's own bad decisions and their consequences. But one who is malcontent is very often prideful as well. And not humble. And so the finger of blame is being pointed every which way, but inward. Now, why should a living man complain? A man for the punishment of his sins. Discontentment is a byproduct of a prayerless life, lived apart from dependence upon God. I can't tell you how many people I've met who have no peace, who are not settled within themselves, himself or herself, but will still mouth all of the cliches, you know? I've got God. Yeah, I'm doing okay. I pray when I need Him. I know God's got a plan for me. But yet they do the opposite. There's no evidence of any of these things within the self. Because that individual is clearly living a prayerless life apart from God. Maybe you've been that guy. Maybe you've been that lady. Maybe you are that guy or that woman. Keep listening. The divine advice is to repent. To turn to God through Christ Jesus and to partake of the promise. These also who erred in spirit will come to understanding. And those who complained will learn doctrine. But there's one thing that has to happen before those who err in spirit will come to understanding and those who complain will learn doctrine. Such a one has to submit before the mighty hand of God and be willing to accept that Jesus Christ is the only one on earth or above earth who has all the answers. And to humbly begin a walk with Him. All this being said, we have before us four possibilities. First, one can be in a state of ungodliness and discontentment. Kind of like the prodigal son, right? He wanted to live his life his own way. This was an ungodly man, and he was not content to stay in the house of his father, the godly home in which he was reared. So he goes out and he lives an aimless, miserable life. That's where ungodliness and discontentment will bring us. The second option is one can have godliness, but yet still be discontent. A form of godliness without any results. A lot of talk, maybe even a little bit of self-deception in there, but no reality of a changed life. One can have good spiritual talk, even a clean, self-respecting life as the world sees, can even be church-going, but unhappy inside, because there's no true spiritual reality in the heart. Judas Iscariot, many of the Pharisees in Jesus' day, played the hypocrite. But their miserable conduct and actions betrayed the fact that their heart was discontented. Option number three. One can be ungodly and yet still have a form of contentedness. This is a pretty scary one. And the classic example is the rich fool who said, I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you are provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. This is a guy who maybe either didn't have a problem in the world in his life, went and coasted through life, and ignored all his problems, or went through them without real emotion. Or it's a guy who just maybe did have some issues and never hit bottom. People who are content in this life and think nothing of the next are in for a rude awakening. So if you've been coasting along, just like everything's good and everything is always going to continue as it always has, and God has tried to get your attention over and over again, but you still got this attitude, hey, I'm doing all right, I'll be okay. Selah, selah, right? Whatever will be, will be. You're in for a rude awakening. If I speak to you, consider that you will meet God someday, and he will not ask you about your job. He's not going to ask you how you did with your 401k. He's not going to ask you how many players you can name on the 2018 World Series champion Boston Red Sox. You heard it here first. But he will ask you what you did with his son, Jesus Christ. And as it is appointed for men to die once, after this comes the judgment. Finally, we've got option number four. Option number four is the one that we all strive for. And it's the one that the Apostle Paul found in his life. Godliness and contentment. Now our text says that godliness with contentment is great gain. And I'd like to close with the passage from the 73rd Psalm. And let God have the last word. All of these scriptures, by the way, are listed in your bulletin, so you can go back and review them later. Something like 80% of the words in this sermon have been scripture, you will see, and it's always best to use God's words. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. my flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For indeed, those who are far from you shall perish. You have destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord that I may declare all your works. Now Asaph knew what it was to have godliness and contentment. And if you're looking for a psalm to remind you of that, you do well to turn to the 73rd Psalm and find the conclusion of the inspired man of God. And we thank God that He gives us examples of many who have gone before us to show us that this is possible. Sometimes it's hard to be godly in this present world. Sometimes it's hard to be content when the waves and billows roar. But it's possible with His help. Amen. We thank You, Heavenly Father, for the peace that You offer us. Lord, help us that we might live more godly lives. Help us to understand that some things go together like hand and glove in the spiritual sense. And that two of those things are godliness and contentment. Lord, teach us to live godly that we might find contentment and peace in our lives. That we won't always be walking around worrying and anxious and tied to the next thing that might happen or not happen, thinking that we have more control over the events in our lives that we do. But Lord God, You have given us control over one thing, and that is a decision that we are called to make with regard to You. Lord, we know that it is written in Your book, we've heard it this morning, that the way to contentment is by coming to You through Your Son, Jesus Christ. And that with that coming, You will teach us godliness and bring us a contentment and a peace that passes all understanding. Lord, we pray. Let each of us pray. Lord, give me that contentment that Asaph, Paul, and Your Son Jesus had while on this earth. Center us and bring us back when we go astray and we go off on our own foolish ramblings and rantings. Thank You that You hear our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.